Karti class since 2018, continuing the subject of Ras Lila, the 29th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Up and starting 2012 until now, we have come to verse 46 in the Bhagavatam, chapter 29, 10th canto. Before we just jump in the middle of Krishna's Lila, in the whole setting and the whole exchange of love with Krishna and the gopis, in the middle of the Ras Lila, I wanted to actually read this small introduction, which kind of establishes a little bit about the transcendental nature of Bhagavan Krishna. Bhagavan, Sri Krishna's Ras Lila, is a completely divine transcendental pastime. By hearing or reading the Ras Lila, the sober and faithful learn about the secret transcendental love affairs of the Supreme Absolute Truth, Bhagavan Sri Krishna, and his counterpart, Absolute Shakti, Srimati Radharani, Krishna's innate power of divine beauty, love, and bliss. Who is Radharani? Radharani is Krishna's innate power of beauty, love, and bliss. Sounds attractive. Everyone's looking for such things. Sri Krishna's Ras Lila is indeed a richly emotive, exciting, and endearing love story that somewhat resembles the classic secret love stories of Romeo and Juliet, Odysseus and Penelope. Thus, from a completely uninformed external material viewpoint, one will misjudge and misconstrue the transcendental amorous affairs of Bhagavan Sri Krishna, Radha Krishna's love story, that distinguishes it from any other love story in history, past, present, or tomorrow's love story. And what is that specialty? The Ras Lila and all of Radha Shyam's Brajmadurya Leelas. The Ras Lila and all of Radha Shyam's Brajmadurya Leelas are completely transcendental, transforming and transporting. Any form of sensual or mental contact with Radha Krishna's divine pastimes will purify one's being and elevate one to the transcendental plane of eternal life. In addition, one's mind and heart will be transformed, overhauled, so to speak. One will attain a new sanctified heart and an immaculately pure mind, totally devoid of lust, anger, greed, envy, and pride. Sounds impossible? Unbelievable? Never before seen in history. It's happening every moment, every year, life after life, place after place. Those fortunate souls that dive deep into the ocean of Krishna's Ras Lila, they come up as a new being. You dive in the ocean as a caterpillar, and you come out of the ocean as a butterfly. Like this. And you can hear that, and you can read that, and if you experience that, then you'll be more convinced. So, that's why we like to share these discussions of Ras Lila, because we were introduced to Ras Lila 44 years ago by Srila Prabhupada. And from then, it's been working on my brain and my life. So I can testify to some small degree, some effect has happened. Then, let's rewind. This is because we mentioned that unlike other love stories, The transcendental love story of Radha and Krishna has different qualities. And what were those qualities? I gave three qualities of this love story. It's transcendental, transforming, and transporting. So then I said these three things and I supported them and explained how is it transcendental, how is it transforming, and how is it transporting? Transforming means taking what you are, taking the caterpillar and making a butterfly. And transporting means taking it from here to some trans, across to another place. You get in my ocean liner and I'll transport you across the Atlantic Ocean from New York to Paris. But this is a different kind of transportation. So let's see. So I say they're transcendental, transforming, and transporting. Now the proof, the praman. I'm saying any form of sensual or mental contact. Sensual means you see Rasleela, you hear the songs of Rasleela, you read about Rasleela with your eyes. This is the senses, eyes and ears. Or any sensual or mental contact. Mental contact means your eyes are closed, your ears are closed. You can even, close them with different mudras. Do anahata shabda meditation of the seven subtle sounds inside the heart, the anahata shabda. This is the anahata chakra. And it's a yoga like that. Anahata shabda yoga. So they do like this and that. So now all senses are blocked and you're only meditating on Rasleela. Rasleela Dhyan. Rasakrita Dhyan. Meditating on Rasleela. And what happens? Any form of sensual or mental contact with Radha and Krishna's divine pastimes, not only Rasleela, will purify one's being and elevate one to the transcendental plane of eternal life. Now transformation. That's transcendental. In addition, one's mind will be transformed, overhauled, so to speak. One will attain a new heart, not a heart transplant, heart transformation, transformation. Because we don't really want to have a heart transplant because our heart is full of greed and envy and anger. We take it out and get somebody else's heart. We put a new heart in our body and their heart is also full of lust, anger, and greed. So even if we transplant hearts from one material person to another, we haven't transformed consciousness. We haven't transformed our lives or our existence or our vision. So this transformation is extraordinary. One will attain a new and sanctified heart and an immaculately pure mind. What is the definition of an immaculately pure mind? Totally devoid of lust, anger, greed, envy, and pride. Then, in the transcendental vehicle, vahan or viman, in the transcendental vehicle of one's pure mind, then the transcendental vehicle of one's pure mind and heart will transport one to the spiritual realm, Goloka Vrindavan, wherein one will joyfully live, sport, play, love, and relish boundless bliss in the eternal association of Sri Sri Srimati Radharani and Bhagavan Sri Krishna. All around us, we see the Kamdev, the king of mundane lust and desire, has conquered the kingdoms. The Kamadev king and kingdom has conquered the kingdoms of everyone's heart, leaving one and all in a perpetual state of anxiety, tension, frustration, and dissatisfaction. Many, many love stories full of intrigue, competition, arguments, and romantic interludes have come and gone. Yet still, we remain suffering from the searing pain of unrequited lust, that continually itching inner hankering for ultimate bliss and fulfillment. In other words, the searing pain of unrequited lust, dash, what is that lust? Lust is that continually itching inner hankering for ultimate bliss and fulfillment. A question that arises: how can I get free from lust and discover the unique inner bliss that's my very birthright as a human being? How can I touch the love and joy that hides within transcendence? How can I touch the love and joy that hides within transcendence? Radha and Krishna have revealed the secret by saying, "Come, my children, come enter our Rasleela. We guarantee that your mind and heart will be fully conquered by our immaculately pure and sweet selfless love. All the famous love stories, be they past, present, or personal, are certainly very compelling, exciting, and heart-stirring. But none of them have the power to spiritualize one's existence and free one from the cycle of birth and death, samsara. And they can never give one the sweet taste of bliss that never ends. However, there is one love story from time eternal, the divine love story of Radha and Krishna, the Rasleela, which definitely, definitely gives any partaker the boundless joy arising from a pure mind and the ultimate bliss and fulfillment arising from a fully satisfied, love-drenched heart. At the end of his Bhagavatam Rasleela narration, 10th canto, chapter 33, verse 39, Shuka Muni offers the following gift, blessing, and benediction to all of his readers. He says, Shuka Muni says, anyone who faithfully hears or describes Bhagavan Sri Krishna's playful, loving, divine loving affairs with the young damsels of Braj will attain the topmost form of devotion for Sri Krishna, that is, the sweet, selfless love that Srimati Radharani cherishes for her beloved Shamsundar. End of quote. That's the gift. That's the blessing. As Sri Radha's love floods the heart, simultaneously, one becomes quickly free from lust, the incurable disease of the heart. One becomes peaceful and wise, feeling completely refreshed, content, fulfilled, and satisfied. On one side, Kamdev rules the world, conquering everyone's hearts with lust and desire. On the other side, Kamadev, Sri Krishna, the Aprakrita Madan, Sakshat Manmata Manmata, is waiting to conquer our hearts with his love. By the mercy of Sri Krishna and the power of Rasleela, everyone can attain a full life of bliss, joy, and satisfaction by serving, playing, dancing, and whirling around and around with Radha and Krishna in their endless dance of pure love, the Ras Lila. So that was simply to establish the transcendental nature of Radha and Krishna's Ras Lila and the power and influence and the mercy and compassion of this Lila, and the tremendous transforming and transporting effect that it can have. So I wanted to kind of give a summary of where we are. We've reached the end of the 29th chapter of the Ras Lila, which is titled Krishna and the Gopis Meet for the Ras Lila. Chapter 29 that we started 6 years ago, it opens with a very romantic setting, the rising full moon around almost like this time, actually this time of the year. The Ras Lila is this next Purnima. Now it's Ekadasi. I didn't even think about that. And this is Ekadasi, then there's Dwadasi, Dwadasi, Trayodasi, Chaturdasi, and then Dwadasi. And 4 or 5 days from now is the is the Rasa dance, is the full moon night of the Rasa dance and the Sharad season. The Srimad Bhagavatam is describing in the 10th canto, chapter 29. On this Purnima night, in this very month, with this kind of warm days and cool nights, so just imagine what it would be like. You even see the moon now, it's almost full. Krishna sees the rising full moon. And 4 days from now, if you're lucky, you're standing on a roof or somewhere, you can see the moon rising at around 7:30 or so. It'll be rising on that Purnima. It'll be orangey red. And the Bhagavatam opens up in chapter 29. When Krishna saw the reddish, the full moon rising in the sky with this reddish hue, he immediately remembered the kunkum ornamented golden moon-like face of Chandramukhi Sri Radha. Because sometimes ladies, they put a little, they call it rouge or something, rouge or some little pink powder, kunkum. And even without it, if they're excited, their golden skin looks a little red. So Krishna saw the face of the moon, and he thought of the face of his beloved Radharani. That's nice. That's called romance. That's called Udipan. He was excited because one who's in love, he sees his beloved everywhere. He sees his girlfriend wears purple track shoes. She wears purple track shoes and pink running pants. So the man goes somewhere and he sees a purple neon sign advertising Joe's Auto Parts, but it's purple. My girlfriend. But just seeing the color reminds him. This is called excitement. It excites his inner love, his foundational love, his relationship of love is excited by colors, by sounds, by people, so many things. So Krishna got excited. He saw the full moon, which is very romantic. The gentle breezes were blowing, carrying the scent of flowers. All of these things were exciting the heart of Krishna with a great thirst for love. At about 11 o'clock at night, Krishna started playing very enchanting and sweet songs on his murali. To attract all the fair maidens of Braj to his side. Hearing Krishna's seductive flute song, all the gopis became excited and enlivened and impassioned. The gopis dropped everything they were doing and they ran wildly into the forest in the middle of the night to meet Shyam on the silvery white, kaffir soft, sandy banks of the Yamuna. So as they dropped everything they were doing, they had pots of rice in their hand, sabji, and they were serving their husbands. And they heard the flute, dropped it, ran out the door. Someone else was taking care of their sister's baby. They were holding the baby in the arm. It was a joint family. And this gopi heard her elder sister's baby. And she heard the flute. She just threw the kid on a pillow and ran out the door. Oh, didn't drop, it kind of almost dropped him on a pillow. It just says he dropped him on the floor. They said, put it on a pillow, put him on a pillow. And then someone else was boiling some sabji and was getting to the top. And they heard a flute a second before that. They're going to turn the sabji down because it's boiling too much on the pot. They heard the flute and they ran out and the sabji boiled over the stove. You see it, Ananda Vrindavan Champu, it describes many, many situations, how they left everything. Bhagavatam has some, but other shastras describe it, so many things they dropped. One lady, she was getting dressed, right? She was dressing, and she just put her choli on. This top piece, and she hadn't even buttoned it. And then she heard Krishna's flute, she ran out of the house like that. And someone else, because they were dressing, someone gopi put one ankle bell on one ankle. She's tying. And then she's about to put the other one. She heard it, just forget it. And she ran out with one ankle bell. And another gopi, some of her mantris, they were painting her feet. An Indian lady, and on the bottom of the feet, they paint the married ladies. They paint this red altar, this dye, this color. So it's very nice paint on one foot. And then that mantri was holding the other foot of her Yudhishthira, the gopi. And she was painting the other foot because of both feet. And then she had the foot of her sakhi in her hand. And she's painting the red color. And as soon as the sakhi heard the flute, she just ran out. And the mantri was, what? I was holding your foot in my hand and then you ran. And she ran out, and then Kavi Karnapur is saying in Ananda Vrindavan Champu that she ran just like lightning all the way to Krishna. Because she only had wet lac on one foot, she left on one side, she left little red spots as if a boot, you know, a one-legged boot, because boots, you know, ghosts have one leg. It looked like one footprint going all, one red footprint streaking all the way down from Varsana all the way to Vamshivad. Many funny things to tell you. And then one, she was putting her bangles on. She heard the flute. She put her bangles on her ankle, and she was tying her waist belts, kinkini mala, and she was about to put them on. She heard the flute, and she just went, put them around her neck. She was wrapped around her neck, and they're just hanging like this. And she ran out. It was very funny. They were so excited. It's like something like when you're on your way to Radharaman's Mangalarti and you hear the bell ringing and you're not inside the temple, you're still outside. And then you go crazy. Although you don't, you know, drop all your everything, whatever. At least but you run really fast. Maybe your chapels come off, and one falls off and you say, hell with it, I'll buy new ones. You know, it comes off and falls in the gutter or just whatever, you know, happens. Because you run too fast, you chop all these little sandals, you know, they slip up, you know, and you're so fast to get out, and you get out, and one, when you get out, you kick your foot, and it flies off in the street somewhere, and the other one's on inside. So devotees have this idea that's Udipan. The Udipan can be a sound of Krishna's flute, or the temple, the mandir bell, dong, 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 oh! Sarti, Radharaman's darshan, Mangal darshan, not much time. People running from north, south, east, like bees, mad bees running to a freshly opened lotus flower in the spring. First, the new lotus of the season. In the fall, actually, they open. And the bees, hey, you heard about it? There's the lotuses are open. Let's go. Oh. Hit the nectar. So they ran wildly into the forest in the middle of the night. In great happiness, all the gopis arrived and gathered around Krishna. And what does Krishna do? How does he respond to the fact that all these gopis of Vrindavan have just sacrificed everything, their entire lives, they've just thrown out everything that matters to anyone in this world. Everything that matters to everyone, such as, quote, my name, they threw it out. My fame, they threw it out. My social position, they threw it out. My family relationships, they threw them away. My career, they throw it away. Their education, their future, they threw it away. Their future life, their ugly janana, bhavishya janam, future life. Will I go to heaven? Will I go to hell? Will I enjoy? Will I suffer? I don't care. Haribo! They ran into the forest. Something like that. And what did Krishna do? They sacrificed and gave everything. Krishna just flatly rejected them and appeared uninterested. And he spoke discouraging words. And he started preaching to them dharma, right and wrong, action, morality, family duties. What are you talking about? What are you saying? Who are you? And who are we? And where are we now? Then Krishna concludes his pravachan, his preaching on ashram dharma and varna dharma and morality. And he says, you should all go home and perform your dharmic duties. This is no place for a young lady to be. The gopis were dumbfounded, stunned by Krishna's wholesale rejection. They feel dejected, frustrated, disappointed. They are all silent, crying, and looking downcast at the earth, scribbling the ground with their toes and crying. They're crying and weeping. Tears are rolling down their eyes, and their eyes are surrounded by Shyam Sundar Kajal, black Krishna Kajal. And the tears mix with the Kajal, they fall in black streams down their golden faces. And then they drip onto their raised breasts, and they mix with the red kumkum powder, dusting the top of their golden breasts. And the red kumkum and the black kumkum, they drip down on the ground, duck, 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 and they're crying. They're speechless, they're stunned. Their entire hearts are melting into tears and rushing down their eyes like waterfall. They're scratching the ground with their agitated toes. When Krishna stops his lecture on dharma and philosophy and sankhya and jnana, etc., the gopis finally get strength and they respond to Krishna's rejection by speaking sincerely and honestly to reveal the purity of their purpose and the immaculately perfect nature of their love that they have for Krishna. They speak their famous Pranaya Gita. Upon hearing their Pranaya Gita, Krishna now understands the pure nature of the gopis' transcendental loving attachment to him and the absolute degree of their divine surrender to him. Krishna relents. He submits to their pure love. And then Krishna and the gopis start freely enjoying together by playfully touching each other, singing together, rambling through the forest. As they move along and play lovingly, Krishna notices the gopis, some pride is rising in their minds. So then he immediately, poof, disappears. Like a mad magician, just disappears. He disappeared, but he didn't go alone. He took Radharani with him, and no one else. And all the gopis began to search, where is Krishna? Where is he gone? And that's where we begin today, our divine love story, Radha Krishna's Rasalila. It starts out with a very romantic attraction and setting. An excitement, the Brajagopis run into the forest full of excitement. Then the lovers meet. Then there's conflict arises. Then there's disappointment and frustration results. Then there's dialogues ensue. Krishna speaks, the gopis speak. Then the conflict is resolved, so the lovers, Krishna and the gopis, can rejoice together, thrilling in the bliss of their play. And then Krishna separates. Union and separation, seeing you and being with you and losing you and being with you and losing you. This is basically the whole divine Leela of Krishna from time eternal. He's with Yashoda in the morning, and he goes 9 hours away from Yashoda, and she cries for 9 hours because he's with the coward boys and the cows and playing and frolicking. Then he comes home, and she's happy. And then she's very happy. And then at night, she doesn't know where he goes. So he's with the coward boys in the evening, and he comes back, and he goes in his house, and they don't see him till sunrise, and they cry all night. They don't even sleep because they're separated. And the gopis are separated, and they're crying, and then he meets them at night, and then they're happy. So Krishna's business is making some devotees happy and some devotees cry. he makes you cry and he makes you laugh. you can't control them. You show that she, it's unbelievable. It's Govinda Lila Amrita. It's unbelievable. So that's where we are. So let's start in this verse 46 of Ras Lila. I read the Sanskrit. I can read the Sanskrit verse. Bahu prasara parirambha karala kuru Nevi sanalavana narma makagra patte Shreyavaloka hasiter brajasundari nam Utam bayam ratim patim Ramayan chakara. In the translation, Krishna starts enjoying with the Braja gopis by embracing them, wandering along with arm in arm, and he joyfully awakens Ratipati, or Cupid, the devata of love within the Braja gopis' hearts, by touching their hands and hair and breasts and belts and thighs, and by playfully scratching them with his fingernails, and speaking coyly with his glances and his laughter. This is verse 46. And they enjoy like this for a couple of verses, and he disappears. That's actually what happens. So Vishnu, let's see, Jiva Goswami's commentary, one of our great acharyas, he gives some commentary on what he sees there. He says, the gopis' prem is covered, their love for Krishna is covered by a natural shyness. And Krishna rouses that highest prem within them. Because that's what it's saying. It's saying in the verse Rati. Rati means the highest degree of affection. And Krishna shows great attraction for them by embracing them tightly with his arms. And he accepts them because they're so qualified. What are the qualities of the gopis? Their great beauty and their great love. So this is why, that's how you attract Krishna, with great beauty and great love, a beautiful mind and loving heart. A beautiful mind and loving heart. A beautiful mind means a mind free of selfishness. And a beautiful heart means a heart full of lust and greed. So the gopis are beautiful minds and beautiful hearts. And of course, it goes without saying that they're the most beautiful ladies in creation. Vishnu Chakravarti, he comments here. He says, because he comments on this word. There's a phrase here in the verse in Sanskrit. That's what the commentators do. They comment on the Sanskrit. It says, Bahu, Bahu Prasara. Bahu Prasara means, Bahu means arms, like we say Mahabahu. Prasara means throwing the arms. So one translation says, the gopis threw their arms. It doesn't make any sense. It says they crossed their arms. So they crossed their arms. So Vishwanath gives a very interesting explanation. He says, this phrase, what does it mean? It means that
They crossed their arms over their breasts in such a way that it made a swastik, you know, like a swastik shape. You know, this looks. This is a. You have a cross like this, and you have a little tail on each part going in a clockwise way. That's called it. It's an auspicious symbol. Like you have a triangle, a vertical triangle that represents the Purusha. Then you have a this type of triangle represents the Shakti. This represents the man triangle. So when you put them together, two triangles, that's a particular yantra. It's like a mudra for Durga is this, like this, and like this. So the gopis are crossing their arms in a swastik, because there's actually, the swastik is it's a protective symbol and sign. So Krishna, the gopis are, so this is expressing what he says here. So they cross their arms like a swastik shape. This means, and then Krishna has to open up the gopis' arms in order to embrace them. So they really, in their heart of hearts, they want to love and embrace Krishna. But they're ladies, they're women. So laja, or shyness, is their nature. So they say, oh, no, no. So then Krishna has to break open the swastika, to embrace them. And that's really all. They're just showing this swastika to increase his happiness and increase his eagerness and attraction for them. Because if he's more attracted and he feels more happy, then they feel more happy. Krishna's attraction to them increases their attraction to him. It's exchange of love. So then he touches them and caresses them, fondles them, and they relish his embraces. With his glances and smiles and funny words, Krishna incites his and their amorous desires, praises their ratipati. And this way Krishna enjoys with each and every gopi. So now a question may come. He says, how can Krishna enjoy with millions of young women on a very small banks of a river Yamuna, and there's no privacy or no love beds available? And it's amazing. Krishna's tikas are so like a little different than Jiva Goswami. That 150 years difference, things became much more liberal over time. So this is 15th century, this is 17th, you know, 1680. What to speak of? The wave of liberality was rolling. It started in the 15th century, because Vishnu lived 150 years after Jiva Goswami. Jiva Goswami lived at the time of the six Goswamis, 16th century, and 100 years later was Vishnath. So the whole world, the world view and what was acceptable to the devotee's audience, this intimacy of these tikas, Jiva Goswami and the elder from the other time periods, they don't reveal such intimacy and such sweetness. So this is a special treasure of Gaudiya's, that the Vishnath is, of course, it's all spiritual and divine and transcendental. But it gives a much more human and more fuller human picture of Krishna's human aspect as in Vrindavan. So he asks a question. It's so small. How is it possible? Then he says it's possible. It's definitely possible, because the personal form of Krishna and the gopis have unlimited power. He says even a piece of land, even a piece of land in Vrindavan, as small as a sesame seed, tilka bija, just a small sesame seed, it can expand into a vast area. Right? You take one little atom, like atom is very small, and you split it, and what happens? A huge mushroom cloud and a huge explosion, and millions of people die by splitting one atom. One atom you have to see an electron microscope. If you split it, you blow the world up. That's from, you know, the microcosm to the macrocosm, from the finite to the infinite, from the smallest particle. So if scientists can do that with atoms, why can't Krishna do that with his leelas? or with Vrajabhumi or with the Ras Mandala. You can take an atom and expand it so much they blow up a whole continent, a whole country, or city. Right? So that easy to take a little sandy bank. Like you see, sometimes they say, "Oh, the coastline of Lithuania, the coastline of Holland is 300 kilometers long, seacoast." You know, they have so many beaches in like New Jersey or East Coast of America, or California, 500 kilometers of beach, you know, because it's skinny long thing. So the small sandy banks of the Ras Mandal becomes long, goes all the way to Bombay, all the way to Rishikesh. So Krishna's dancing from Rishikesh, from Devprayag all the way to Bombay. There's a little stint in the Bollywood, you know, they're dancing, a lot of dancing there in the movies. That's expanding. I love this phrase. Even a piece of land as big as a mustard seed in Vrindavan can become a vast, unlimited area. Even a piece of land in Vrindavan as small as a sesame seed can expand into a vast area full of unlimited private pleasure groves, replete with fragrant flower beds, betel nuts, sandalwood paste, perfumes, cool drinking water, and flower garlands. Everything is manifested by Krishna's yogamaya potency, acting as an agatana-gatana shakti. The power that the power to make the possible impossible and the possible possible. Impossible possible and the possible impossible. That's what it says, the power to make the impossible possible. When Krishna's pastimes were concluded, Yogamaya again withdrew everything and the gopis went home. Krishna went back to Nandagram and the beach, the sandy banks, the Yamuna came back from Bombay, came back from Rishikesh and fit in the little area down there in Vrindavan after Keshika. Yeah, the same thing, the night. Be careful when you go to sleep in a few days, you may wake up in 100 million years. Because on that night, Krishna, the gopis are thinking, when you're having a good time, you want it to never end. And when you're suffering and miserable, the flu and cold and bed, and you want it to end immediately, but it just drags on and on. So the time factor just bites you like a bulldog. The time factor bites you like a bulldog when you're sick and just doesn't let go of you. But when you're having a good time, it just goes by. Your good time goes by like a Ferrari, you know, just zoom. You know, you go somewhere and that's good friends, good vibes, good place, good times. Before you know it, poof, it's over. So, Hare Krishna. So when Krishna was in his rasa dance, dancing with the gopis, they were thinking, we don't want this to end. We want this good time to roll on and on and on. So then Krishna said, all right. And he looked at Chandradev. He just glanced at Chandradev and he said, don't go anywhere. Don't even think about setting. Don't even think about resting. You're not going to rest tonight. Because usually he rises and he falls after some 10 hours. He sets. You stay there. You stay right on the top of the sky, and like a beautiful spotlight, and you illuminate the whole sand, the camphor powder sandy banks of the Yamuna. Because I want to see the beautiful faces of Radharani and the gopis. But if you go down and you sit there, I can't see. So can you imagine a spotlight having the moon for a spotlight? Have you ever performed on stage? Have you ever been on stage dancing, singing, speaking, anything, stage, audience, at night, and there's these spotlights blinding your eyes? And you're on the stage, and there may be 5,000 people, 10,000 I've seen, I've experienced, and you can't see the people. Because the lectures, you stand up, you're supposed to give, in my case, give some lecture or something on some program or whatever here and there, Rath Yatra, different things. So it's nighttime, and you go like this, you put your hands like this. Oh, is anybody there? And there's everybody's there. But if you're just looking, it's like the Brahma Jyoti. Have you ever? It's like anything, even a small hall. It's like, but now contrast those lights with the spotlight of the full moon, Chandrama. Soft, soothing, cooling, enervating. It enhances your romantic feelings. And there's no man-made or woman-made or scientist-made light that will have that kind of effect. There's nothing. There's no more beautiful light than the moonlight. It's so soothing and so calming and so energizing for the subtle body and relaxing and eye-opening. You know, if you spend time with the moonshine, we spend time with the sunshine and then we ignore the moonshine. And the moonshine is the other half of the coin. So Krishna is a moon lover. He's Krishna Chandra and Radharani is Chandramukhi. Chandramukhi means her mouth, her face is like the orb, like soothing, like the orb of a moon, you know, it's beautiful. So that's what happened. He made the night as long as the night of a day of Brahma, millions of years. So Prabhupada has a commentary. He says, Radha and Krishna, Braja Gopis, they enjoy all these pastimes. Thus the Gopis are blessed by the mercy of Krishna. For they transcendentally enjoy Krishna's company without a tinge of amorous feelings. That's very nice commentary in this verse 46. And I just gave a little, because I was explaining in other classes, on one level, when you look at the Rasa-lila, there's five chapters to the Rasa-lila. So in any drama or any love story, there's act one, act two, act three, and in every act there's scenes, and there's the narrative. Someone may come out and say, so now we're going, he narrates what's going on. And then the curtain opens up. So he narrates the flow of the drama, what's happening. Curtain opens up and the players come on the stage, the hero and the heroine and the supporting cast from the hero's supporters and the heroine's supporters. And so then there may be dialogue and then there's monologue. Like sometimes the curtain opens up and a lover's by himself. Oh, does Juliet love me? I wonder. And it's called monologue and all these things. So then they meet and then there's dialogue and then there's excitement and the conflict and then separation and conflict resolution and all these are every love story. So I was just explaining that. So I gave a little recap of that here. As a Rasa-lila overview in terms of different scenes and the dramatic flow of the Rasa-lila, Radha Krishna's Rasa-lila pastime. I said during the Adhik Mas, during my last classes, we described the gopis' reply to Krishna's rejection by speaking the Pranaya Geet, which was finished. And now there's a new scene. This is number four in this chapter, the fourth scene in this chapter of the divine Leela, Krishna's Rasa Leela. So now this is the narrative. So now Krishna's not speaking, the gopis aren't speaking. So who's speaking? Shukadeva Goswami. He's describing. Krishna did this. He touched the gopis. He kissed the gopis. He embraced the gopis. So this is the scene from verse 42 to the end of this chapter. It's called the narrative. The players, the actors, the heroine and heroine, they're not interacting. They're describing what they're doing, how they're acting. So during I said like that. So this is a new scene where the author Shukamuni describes the events, the actors, and the movements of Krishna and the gopis. And Krishna playfully wanders in the forest of the gopis and he disappears. So we can start the next verse, text 47. We're hearing and chanting about Krishna. What can be better? Evam Bhagavata Krishna, verse 47. where the rest of you are. I guess it's not follows on the page. 647. Evam Bhagavata Krishna. Labdha Mana Mahatmana. Atmanam Menire Sriram. Malinyo Adikamburi. The gopis become proud of themselves for getting such special attention from Krishna. So each of the gopis was thinking, I am the best lady in the world. Prabhupada's translation. The gopis, after walking and moving and associating, being with Krishna in such an intimate, romantic way, the gopis start feeling very proud. He says the same thing. He said they're the most fortunate women in the universe being favored by the company of Krishna. Certainly if someone is favored by the company of a great personality, they feel very fortunate. In other words, if you, some rich person or famous person or high spiritual person favors you or recognizes you or gives you their time or their friendship, you feel very fortunate. I was telling you, a story about Varsana and Priyakunja. So a sadhu, if there's a big famous sadhu and you may go to meet that sadhu sometimes, and that you have some acquaintance, a few times you see them and they don't notice you. And another time you go, it's the same you and the same sadhu, and they pay obeisance down the ground. Oh, Nidhi Baba. Ah, you know, how are you, this, that, and I'm so happy to see, you know, and it's a whole loving reception, like you're meeting your brother after a long time. And you feel like you're on cloud nine. Oh, I feel so, you know. He said, come, and then he said, come, we're going to Utsava. Because everyone was leaving. He came out. When he was coming out, he was leading all the, about 30 people were following him to go to some, a feast to honor some great Vaishnava. So then he was leading away, and I was standing there near the garden in front of his ashram. And then he saw me. Then he said, come. And he took my hand and held my hand. He said, come, let's go. And then he led me to the feast. And Hari Charan was behind. So that's nice. Then he came in and said, you sit here. Everyone likes to be loved, recognized. So the gopis said, I don't know if I was feeling proud of that. I wasn't so much feeling proud of being recognized. I was happy. And the gopis, they're proud also. So then Krishna said, hey, whoa, no, pride is not good, no, job. So then another translation, being honored by the Supreme Soul, Sri Krishna, the gopis became proud, thinking that they are the best ladies in the universe. And Sri Jiva Goswami, Stika, what he says, how he understands this verse, he has a few small words. He says, the happiness of amorous love cannot reach its fullness without separation of the lovers. So you're in love, and you really love someone, there's some quarrel, or some disagreement, some misunderstanding, or as often comes up, and then some don't talk for days, don't see each other, whatever. It depends on the arrangement of the relationship. Maybe not seeing each other, but not talking, or minimal talking, and obvious unhappy feelings. Then exchange, the gifts are given, and box of chocolate, flowers, flattery and sweet words and humble behavior and the basic, you know, trying to win. I mean, it's just the movements of love. And the separation, the ego is strong and holding its position, but the heart is hankering to meet the beloved. But the ego is not allowing the heart any space to move. I'm not calling him. I'm not going to speak. No, that
This is it. If he calls me, great. We'll carry on. Otherwise, forget. I don't just get that. He hasn't even called, you know. It goes like this. So the gopis are feeling like this, and Krishna also is feeling like this. So this is the way love from the very beginning of eternal time. So therefore, Jiva Goswami correctly comments that the fulfillment and the richness of love, the real the intimacy and the ecstasy of the divine union of the loving couples can't reach its zenith without this agonizing, unbearable pain of separation. Even separation in Sanskrit is called fire. It's called viraha agni. Agni means fire. Agnihotra, people do. And viraha means viraha. Raha means to live. And viraha means to live away, be away from your life. Radhakun me re raha hum. I live in Radhakun. So viraha. So when I'm not with my life or I'm not living with the one I love, then I'm separated, viraha. And that burns me. When I'm in separation, my heart burns. In separation, I may be angry and I cry, but my tears are hot. But when I'm in union or when I'm meeting my beloved, I may cry in bliss or in joy. My tears are cool in temperature. There's two temperatures of the tears. The tears of separation are hot. And the tears of divine communion and are cool, according to our statements of our acharyas. This is very high perception. Maybe we can have same. I can't say myself. So he has a small commentary. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, he's speaking here, verse 47. Of course, the verse is about the Labdhamana Mahatmana. It says they took on this man, this pride, this self-respect. Because Krishna was honoring them, then because Krishna is such a lover that each gopi felt that they were alone with Krishna. They didn't even see the other gopis. This is his mystic power, his mystic power. Krishna's only with me. I came here with hundreds and thousands of other gopis. There was only one Krishna a moment ago. And I was thinking, how will I dance with Krishna? How will I live with Krishna? And all of a sudden, here I am. It's just me. It's only me and Krishna. So each gopi thought that. And they thought, oh, Acha, Krishna's only with me. He's favoring me. And I don't see it, the other gopis. Oh, I guess I must be. I'm special. So that, and Krishna was saying, Acha. But he was expanded with each gopi, and each gopi thought they were special. And then Krishna, poof. Although they couldn't see each other before, when Krishna was individually with them, when Krishna disappeared, then they opened their eyes. Huh? Then they saw thousands of other gopis everywhere. And no Krishna. You try to think what and see this thing in your meditation. It's quite extraordinary. We read actually go there and be in a sroop and there and. The level of the Bhagavat, the level of the Bhagavat and the levels of the Lila, Ras Lila, are so infinite and go deeper and deeper according to the position one is in and the qualification Adhikar one has and the introduction and the access one has to Krishna's pastimes, which is facilitated by the Guru and the Diksha process and the individual practice of bhajan and surrender and the divine descension. Ascension of divine grace and mercy from above. So it's like, you know, how deep can you go? If you put on one scuba tank, you can go pretty deep. If you put on three tanks or four tanks, you can really go deep. Krishna's telling this. Krishna is saying it by Krishna's Lila Shakti. manifested and intensified the gopis' pride for the purpose of enhancing the sacred rapture. It's the same point that Jiva Goswami says. Because this great acharya that lived hundreds of years ago, his name was Bharat Muni, and he wrote about dance. He wrote all the about dance and drama, Natya Shastra, and emotions, and how to convey emotions and experience emotions, different degrees and types of emotions and feelings. Navina Viparlambena Sambhoga Pushtim Ashtante. Pushti, like you say, Pushti Marg, the path of nourishment, the path of inner grace and nourishment. So the Sambhog means enjoying together, Radha Krishna, cannot be nourished or deepened or sweetened without this separation. It's the same thing, where you can see below. Direct contact with the beloved is not fully appreciated until separation has been experienced. And the BBT, it's not like guru vibes, actually. If you say BBT, it means guru vibes. The gopis are proud because they have attained, they have Krishna as their lover of the gopis is the greatest of all personalities. Because the phrase is Mahatmana. Like we say Mahatma, Mahatma Gandhi. So the Mahatmana, the greatest of all Mahatmas, Bhagavan, is their lover. So in one sense, it's very nice. The gopis are proud that they have attained Krishna as their lover, but in one sense, the gopis are proud of Krishna. Because we say as devotees and devotee thinking or devotee mentality, that pride, oh, I'm big, you know, I'm this, I'm that, I'm this, rich and famous and beautiful and whatever. Pride of our titles or pride of our position, individual titles. That's a negative spiritual quality. That's an impurity in the mind and consciousness. That sullies the mind. But if a devotee, I'm proud of Krishna. I'm proud that Krishna has somehow bestowed his mercy upon me. Because without Krishna entering my heart to create the desire to love him or serve him, I would never be here. That's the first and the will to the interest in God is a gift of Krishna. So I'm proud of Krishna that Krishna is my Lord and I'm proud of my Guru. So this a devotee is allowed to have pride in Krishna. I can be proud of Krishna. I can be proud of my Guru. He's such a great saint or such, and we can glorify his qualities and his characteristics. But me, I did Das on a Das. So this is Vishnath is making that point. Excuse me, BBT is making that point. As the pride of the gopis was a pretense created by the Yogamaya potency to intensify their love for him through separation. So that's a nice comment from that side. And then there's another brother commenting from our side. You see in this verse, because it says that being honored by the verse translation, the gopis were honored by the Supreme Soul, Sri Krishna. They became proud, thinking that they are the best ladies, the best women on earth. So here, as the verse has the word man, here Krishna shows special respect and regard towards the gopis. Because it says, Labdha, they attain. Krishna was showing them special favor. So I'm commenting on this word, man. Krishna is showing them special respect. And what did they do? After getting Krishna's man, Krishna was showing them respect and respecting them. Receiving Krishna's respect, the gopis in return became manini. They became proud. And then proud of themselves and not proud of Krishna. So Krishna was showing, he was giving them pride because he was proud of the gopis for their love. He was proud of their love and proud of their surrender. And then, so that was good. He was proud of the devotees. He wasn't proud of himself. He was showing pride towards them. But then, oh, we're special. So then they accepted Krishna's pride in them. And then they became proud of themselves, not proud of Krishna.
So they be proud of themselves and not proud of Krishna, who so lovingly cares for them. So as they say in English, pride precedes a fall. You ever heard that? Pride precedes a fall. A loss, a crushing blows to the ego. So see, there's good pride and bad pride. Good pride and bad pride. Pride in me is destructive, negative, and ultimately false. But pride in Krishna and pride in Radha is their kripa. It's their mercy. If Krishna gives us his mercy, or Radharani gives us her mercy, then we'll be proud of them. So the love and the compassion is the quality of their pride. So pride for Radha and Krishna. So we're proud of Radha and Krishna, but on our side, there's submission. We're submissive and humility. For Radha and Krishna, there's pride. We direct our pride towards them. But for us, there's humility and submissiveness because we're the eternal servitors of Radha and Krishna. Mahaprabhu often quoted this verse. He said, we should be Trinadapi Sunichena Taroiva Sahishana Amanina Amanina Manidena. Same word as there, Amani. Amani Ma Amani Manidena. We should not have pride for ourselves, but we should be proud of others. Well, I'm really proud of my girlfriend. She's so good at this or that. You know, because that's a sign of love. When you can actually direct your pride away from yourself and towards someone else. So Krishna, although he has all rights to be proud, he's Bhagavan, but he was directing his pride towards Krishna, I mean towards the gopis. So in this verse, it says this verse has the word Mahatmana, Mahatman. So this refers to Krishna as the greatest of all personalities. It means the super soul. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna describes different types of people who worship him, some direct and some indirect worshipers. Jnanis and smartas, someone, Vidya, Punya, Karmakanda, there's different types of worshippers. And Krishna describes who is the actual Mahatman, who is the best of souls. And he says that best of souls is he who takes shelter in Krishna. This word is Mahatmana. So Mahatmanas Tamaham Parata, Daivim Prakritam Ashritam. Krishna is telling in Gita, 9th chapter, 13, he says that, well, who is a great soul? A great soul is someone serving and worshiping Krishna with their mind and consciousness, fully absorbed in him, knowing well that I am the cause of all beings and everything else. So this is the example that the gopis are giving. Their minds are always absorbed in Krishna, thinking of Krishna. Then Vishnu says that one word in this verse is avyayam, refers to Krishna's eternal cognitive blissful form, Satchidananda. So this word, Mahatmana, can refer to God, the Supreme Soul, the greatest of all personalities, or I can refer to the simple village girls of Vrindavan, because the word Mahat means, because the gopis' minds, they're the greatest Mahatmas, because the gopis' minds are always fixed and taking shelter of Krishna. Simple point. So in this verse also, we see that there's like everywhere in Krishna's Leela, we see it's very sweet and intimate, and it becomes very grand and majestic. So sweet and intimate is just one Krishna, one gopi, then grand and majestic and godlike expands the Ras Leela into such a vast area. So everywhere you see in Krishna's Leela, he's acting very intimately like a human being. Then he shows all kinds of unlimited godly powers. So why? Why does he do this? So this is to remind us when we're reading about Krishna, it says, oh, it sounds so human. He has girlfriends, I have girlfriends, he has boyfriend, they have boyfriend. And then, so then we may forget, or
or equalized Krishna with ourselves. So then the acharyas or the description, oh, by the way, this happens. Oh, wait a minute, I can't do that. I have to see this from a different, I'm not, Krishna's not me and I'm not Krishna. So that's basically the purpose. Otherwise, if you just get lost in the love story, you think, well, what's the difference? And I was explaining the transformational qualities, but then this other aspect is there. So I'm just showing different ways. And actually, in these 2 points in this verse, I'm trying to set a standard to look at all the Bhagavatam verses. So there's especially for devotees, if you're a little new, so you can't understand many of these things. But when we see the Leelas of Krishna, we can see them from the godly side or from the human side. That's one way to look at it. Now another way to look at it is from the feeling side, the feelings. It's called Bhav and Leela, the feelings and the loving exchanges, the Bhav and the Leela Vichar versus the Tattva and the Siddhanta. So then I try to explain that, because these are principles, and then most of our students are devotees and listening, so they can learn something. It's more of a teaching. It's not Ras Leela, traditional Ras Leela here in India, where they speak a few verses and sing a few songs, and it's very entertaining and very. Ours is philosophy and Leela, but we weave the two together. Sometimes there's more Leela, sometimes more philosophy, and it makes a very harmonious and healthy balance, which is very positive and productive and creates exactly proper effect. Sometimes when a doctor gives medicine, he gives some medicines which directly remove the disease. Another, at the same time, he's giving you some medicines which are building up your intestines. Like, he may give you antibiotics and he gives you probiotic. He gives you, oh, you have to take these for 5 days, these antibiotics, but then he gives you probiotic, which means like dry yogurt type of things. Because the antibiotics will kill all the negativity in your body and the germs and bad, the disease, but then they kill all the good guys. So there's two kind of medicines going on here, building and destroying medicine and building medicine. So this is the tattva vichar and leela vichar. The leela is a probiotic and the tattva is the antibiotic, if you want to use this analogy. Probiotic means sporolac, or they have even that names like that. Probiotic means it promotes life. It helps you stay alive and be healthy. And the other one kills the life of the bugs and the germs, so you can live without them destroying you. So Bhav and Leela Vichar and verses are then Tattva Siddhanta Vichar. So just listen and yes, that's the way it is. Hearing and chanting. These things are coming by the mercy of Guru and whatever, so we're sharing. It's like sharing. The experience of hearing and reading about Krishna's Ras Leela is full of verses and charming sweetness, bhavas, and intimate leelas, interspersed with very important spiritual philosophy and tattvas and truths. They're interspersed with important tattvas, which are pauses. There's like a pause or a freeze in the endless rasa flow. So there's a constant blend of leela vichar, leela sweetness, and tattva vichar. So sometimes we're intoxicated and sometimes we're sober. So the leela, you get intoxicated, forget everything, then, oh, wait a minute. Who am I? Yeah. Where are we? Yeah, I'm okay. Drive your car. So the constant blend of Leela Vichara and Chattva Vichara. Why? I mentioned, these are drops of reminders of the transcendental position, power, and identity of Krishna and his personal, eternal, energetic Ladni Shakti expansions, Radharani and the Gopis. It helps when we hear the tattva, when we hear the actual, oh, Radharani is Ladni Shakti, she's Krishna's Srub Shakti, and it's just Krishna's own energy expanded. And then when we hear this, what it does is it helps keep our minds balanced and our hearts pure. The absolute truth is powerful, formal, distant, and transcendental. So in that sense, God, or the absolute truth, Krishna, is grand and majestic, godlike. This is one angle of seeing Krishna Leela and understanding it. That's called Aishvarya Vichara, or the consideration of the wealth and the opulence, or the existence, the absolute reality, or the underlying all the sweet, charming, intimate, human-like leelas of Radha and Krishna, the gopis. So Leela, when Krishna is he's having romantic, amorous enjoyment with these gopis. So the foundation of this seemingly material love affair, the foundation is all these transcendental truths. That's why it's very important. So Leela, Krishna's Leela must rest on the foundation of truth and tattva, spiritual truth and philosophy. Pastimes and philosophy combined to produce pastimes and philosophy combined to produce clarity of understanding and pure, offenseless minds and hearts enable the sadhaka to slowly enter fully into the divine realm of rasa bliss forever in Sridhar Vrindavan. So this is the whole idea why Acharyas, Shukha Muni in the Sanskrit shlokas, he's speaking this absolute nature and then sometimes a sweet nature to educate us and to purify us and keep us balanced. So this is verse 48. I gave a title of this verse, Pride Destroys Everything. So this is the verse, Sanskrit verse, chapter 29 of 10th canto. Verse 48. Sasham tat savaga madham diksha manam chakeshava prashamaya prasadaya tatrevanta diyata. That is a translation of the Sanskrit shloka. Sri Keshav, name for Krishna, seeing the gopis so pride, very proud of their good fortune, wanted to take away their pride and show them more mercy. So he disappeared. And Prabhupada translated, Krishna is known also by the name of Keshav. He could immediately understand that the gopis were proud, and that pride, their pride was caused by their great fortune of enjoying Krishna personally in order to show him his causeless mercy to the gopis. And curb their false pride, he immediately disappeared from the scene. And one more translation. Seeing the gopis intoxicated over their good fortune, Krishna favors them by suddenly disappearing from them to reduce their pride. Krishna favors them by suddenly disappearing to reduce their pride. You can imagine if you have some beautiful friend and all of a sudden they stop communicating with you. You feel proud. Oh, I'm so fortunate. This beautiful girl is my girlfriend or this beautiful friend or whatever. Then all of a sudden, I called and the phone's turned off and they're not responding. And then you feel, oh, what happened? So this is what's happening here. So then Jiva Goswami, he gives a little commentary here in this verse. Out of respect for our prior great teachers, we read this thing. His commentary, Jiva Goswami, he comments like this in verse 48. He says, anger with a cause is destroyed. There's two types of anger, very interesting, in Krishna's pastimes, maybe in ours also. Sometimes you're angry for no reason. Have you ever been angry for no reason? So in Krishna's Leela, sometimes the gopis are angry for no reason and sometimes they're angry with a reason. What's a good reason to get angry? If your lover says, I'll come and meet you at
at 12 o'clock in the forest. And so you go there all beautiful and decorated, and you're waiting, waiting, waiting. It's 12, 12, 15, 12, 30, and doesn't come. Then you're waiting till sunrise, just before sunrise, and you have to run home. You're waiting in a beautiful, secluded little kunja, little cottage, little place in the forest. And at sunrise, your lover comes. And it all marks of lipstick on his face and this and that, and hair all tussled up. And he comes, oh, yes, I'm a little late. Huh? And then the beloved will start burning with anger and jealousy. And so she's angry with a cause. Why? Because she was stood up by her lover. And not only that, he ran away with some other lover. So that's a heavy cause to be angry, very angry. So Radharani, that's anger with a cause. And sometimes Radharani is angry for no cause. So when Radharani is angry with a cause, like Krishna stands her up or runs with another gopi, Krishna he knows he's guilty and he feels bad and it's somewhat easy to get rectified. But when Radharani is angry with no cause, then Krishna has a very difficult time figuring out, why is she angry? I didn't do anything. Why? Jiva Goswami is simply saying that there's two types. That's the extent of his commentary. Vishnu Chakravarti often repeats some of the same points. And he says in his commentary on 48, says Krishna was enjoying equally with all the gopis. And Radharani, Vrishabhanu Nandini, who was a leading gopi, she saw that Krishna's enjoying with me and he's enjoying with all these other gopis in the same way. And Radharani started feeling haughty. She started feeling like angry and her eyes got red. I thought I was his favorite. Now he's favoring everybody equally. I feel neglected. She's not showing extra honor to me. So then eyes are angry. So Vishnu is saying there's two types of gopis responding here, because he says that Radharani is getting angry eyes, but then the lesser ranking gopis, that's what he uses, lesser ranking gopis, the gopis that weren't so intimate with Krishna, they became intoxicated with pride over their good fortune of being there with Krishna. Objecting to this, Krishna rectified the situation and suddenly and mysteriously disappeared. So the verse has the word man. It says manam, viksha manam. Viksha means eyes of pride. So some gopis that they were so excited, we're so proud that, you know, we're here with Krishna. You know, Krishna played the flute and he called us. Usually Krishna only calls Radharani and Yastasakis, but we're the sadhana siddha gopis, we're the rishi charis and the muni charis, and Krishna called us, and now we're at the Rasa dance in our sakhi group. We're really proud. And so they were proud, they had manam, they were proud themselves, but the word manam means pride and also means anger. And they kind of go together. So, diksha, because the translation is see. Krishna is seeing their pride, right? Viksha is seeing their pride. But actually, Vishnu says, Krishna is seeing the angry eyes of Radharani. That her Viksha Manam doesn't mean seeing the pride of the lesser ranking gopis. Viksha Anam means Krishna saw the angry eyes of Radharani. He thought, because he's looking around, all the gopis are looking at, oh, hi, Krishna. And then Radharani's, and so he's looking, and everyone's looking real happy. He's looking at Radharani. You see, everyone's very proud and very happy, and she's not proud, she's angry. So then what does he do? He sees there, so there's actually inner meaning all of this, which will be explained. So it's very interesting how one word can apply to Radharani, it means one thing. It applies to all the other gopis, it means another thing. Because manam, Sanskrit words have many meanings related also. So they said, he says, One gopis are proud and the other gopis angry. So then it goes on, he says. So then Krishna disappeared to nullify that pride in the junior gopis. And then he took Radharani so he could show her special favor to remove her angry eyes, remove the anger from her eyes. So that's why, that's the question. People say, well, why did Krishna only leave with Radharani? Because when he brought all the gopis together, he saw that there were different minds. Thousands of gopis were very proud, but one gopi was very angry. So he said, well, this is my main gopi. Radharani is my most important, dearest lover. She means, one Radharani means more to me than thousands of other lover gopis. So then he disappeared, and it took a long time before all the gopis realized that Krishna left all of them, but he also took one of them with him, and it wasn't them, it was her, some other gopi. And they went to search for Krishna. So in the verse, it has the word Keshava. It says, Viksha Manam Chakeshava. So then it says here, Keshava. Vishnu says, Keshava means one, Kesh, the word Kesh means hair. So one, Radisham, one is very, it's very expert at cleaning the hair. Expert, Krishna is called Keshava. Krishna Keshava, Krishna Keshava. Oh, Krishna Keshava. Sometimes you meet people, they're named Keshava. Keshava. So it means Krishna is very expert in brushing Radharani's hair and decorating her hair. So even Shukha Muni is very interesting. He's using this verse, Keshava Vikshamanam. So from the rustic viewpoint, because Jiva Goswami took it from the Tattva Vichar, but from Bhavichar, Vishnu is taking from Bhavichar. From Tattva Vichar, Krishna saw the pride in the gopis, so he disappeared. Antara Diyata. Antara means he went inside. Antara means in Hindi, huh? He disappeared. He went inside, he went away from their vision. He disappeared. But a rasic Vaishnava would say, wait a minute, Viksha Manam Keshava. Keshava. Because there's one thing I neglected to say. When you study verses about Radhakrishna's Leela in Sanskrit, and also in the books like Radharasudaniti, oftentimes in the same line, because Radha and Krishna are always together, like the neutron and the proton, you know, the neutron and proton, they're always together. So even in one line of a verse, if you're rasic, you can see Radha and Krishna, even in one verse, they're together. Because this verse, this word in the verse may say Bhav, and that Bhav, that refers to Radharani. This may say Ishvara. So it's Bhav Dara Ishvara. So the Bhav, Ishvara means Bhagavan, Krishna, and Bhav means Mahabhav Radharani. So when one is develops that heart and that consciousness, then he can see that in the lines of Radharas Tudaniti, that the yuga, that the verse is all about the glories of Radharani, but Krishna's inside those lines of those verses. And because I've seen this in the years of studying Vishnath, and I've understood this. And so Vishnath is bringing that point out here in the Sanskrit verse 48, in line 2. Viksha Manam Keshava. Keshava Krishna, seeing the man, the man in the gopis. Vishnu says, Keshava, who is submissive to Radharani. Keshava means Krishna brushes Radharani's hair. Krishna does Kesh Seva, Radharani Kesh Seva. Krishna Radharani Kesh Seva becomes Nayanam Keshava. So Viksha Mana means Manini. So in this line, Manini is looking at Krishna, Keshava, and Keshava is looking at Manini. Viksha means looking. Viksha means dristi, or dekhiye. So the word, Viksha is the verb. So the verb refers to Radharani and Keshava. So Radharani is looking at Krishna, Viksha Manam Keshava. Because the other way around, Keshava is looking at the gopis. Keshava looks at all the gopis and they're proud. But the other way is, Manini Radharani is looking at Keshava. And why doesn't it say Krishna? It says Kesha, because she's looking at him like, you brush my hair, you comb my hair. I'm number one. You're supposed to be submissive to me. Why are you showing pride to all of them? Viksha manam keshava. This Vishnu, it really expands your mind, makes you think why. Then he can expand your heart, make you feel, and make you see. And this is the power of the Sadhu Sangha. And the very last verse of the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the Sanskrit commentary of Vishnu Chakravarti Pad, when he's signing off his chapter 90 of the 10th canto, his last commentary, he says, I've been able to enter into these leelas and see these by the mercy of my guru and parampara and by the mercy of sadhus within my heart. By the mercy of the previous sadhus have appeared within my heart, like Rupa Goswami and others. Very nice, very nice. He said, by the association of great Vaishnavas around me, and by the association of the Vaishnavas in my heart. That's what he says in Sanskrit. It's like very interesting. So when we did that book in 2002, I saw that I went lost for days meditating on that. It's very deep. So we'll continue verse 48 tomorrow. Shri Rasa Lila ki jai.